Just gonna scream the loudest F-bomb as soon as we start.
We just started. Well, there you go. You just said that. And it's welcome to the Toddcast, guys. I'm John, and with me today is Brian.
Hi, everybody. Brian. Thanks for having me, John.
Hey, no problem. Brian's from the Mills. I'm normally from the Mills, but now that I'm the new Ken, I'm a little bit of everywhere. It's a little crazy, let me tell you.
You were just the NDC.
I am the NDC. There is none other. No, it's cool. Like, I get to travel to more stores, and I get to hang out, and I get to go to more cons. So it's really kind of a fun deal with that. Ken's still with us. He's now part-time in Cranberry, but mm-hmm. You know, he took another job, and really happy for him.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And,
for him.
And so far, no one's given me bad feedback about me being their new boss. So that's good.
Oh, that's just to your face.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, I'm trying not to be a jerk about anything, and I don't plan on being it, you know. It's just, you know, whatever. Like, I keep telling everybody while I walk in, I'm like, I don't want to be a jerk. Please don't make me be a jerk. Just let's do this. Let's build a team. Let's rock and roll. Let's have fun. We're the party. We're Party Central.
Again, just like from Ghostbusters 2, Janosch, everything you're doing is wrong. I want you to know this. That's how you roll. You just walk in. Right. Everything you're doing is wrong. I want you to know this.
Oh, can I tell you about... there's a new show on Netflix called Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen this.
I have not.
So it was pitched to NBC or something, and they didn't take it. So Netflix picked it up. And she's this girl, like, when she's, like, 14 or something, she gets, like, abducted by this dude and... put in a bunker for like a doomsday cult, and like three other girls are like stuck in this bunker, and he's told them that like the rest of the world has been destroyed and all this craziness, and then they get rescued.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes back into real life and she decides to move to New York, and so she's talking to the one guy that she works with or she's going to school with to get her GED, and she says something about Central Park, and they go into this whole thing about like, oh, this is where the Friends Fountain is, and then they talk about the Ghostbusters diner, like mm-hmm. the one where Rick Moranis like runs up and is like, I'm the key master.
Yeah.
So she goes to dinner with this guy there, and the dude from the GED class that likes her is wearing the same outfit Rick Moranis wore, and his hair is kind of crazy, and he sees them in there, and he like parks his bike, and he like runs over and does the whole like turn around and like slide down it. It was so priceless, and I was like, oh, Ghostbusters, and my wife's like, you're such a nerd.
Well, that's right. That shouldn't even be a response now. Well, she should just know that.
I know. But it's a really funny series. It's like 23 minutes.
That sounds
minutes.
Like a great funny premise. We're going to steal funny. You and lock you to bunker.
Yeah. I like her roommate's like this like off-Broadway like dude who can't get like a real Broadway gig. Mm-hmm. And like he's just hilarious. Like the first episode, he's dressed like this weird off-Iron Man thing. And he's like trying to be like some awesome street performer, and it doesn't really work out. And he like makes this production that's almost exactly The Lion King and gets like a cease and desist order. It's really funny. Like the whole show is funny. So, all right. So some cool stuff coming up. Oh, I guess I should apologize that it took us so long to do this. First.
Yeah, there you go.
With the new job, it's been a little crazy trying to get some stuff down, but I promise you guys we will try to do this more often.
Yes, you're letting down the podcast's 12
listeners.
I'm so
sorry. So sorry, you dozen guys that love this show every week. But it is a lot of fun. We like doing it, and that's the point. But it may just not be me and Ken anymore. It may be just me and random people. I'm going to try to make it more of a traveling thing as I go to different stores, but I just haven't had time.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, starting today and tomorrow, which is March 20th and 21st, we have the Green Tag clearance sale.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yay. It's a lot of stuff. All the stores have tons of Green Tag and or clearance items. Elwood City has, like, dumb cheap toys, and all of the dollar books in Elwood City on the upstairs and the upstairs of Butler, where they have their dollar books, they're all half price. They're all 50 cents.
Awesome.
All the other stores... their dollar books are not on sale, but if you find a Green Tag back issue, regular back issue, it's a dollar. So that like $4 back issue might be a dollar.
Yeah.
It just needs a green tag. Just look for the tags. And even like the yellowish green ones count. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're not going to be picky.
So just hit your local NDC and start digging.
Right. And there's like so much stuff. Like here at the Mills, we're doing all toys $9.99 or less are 50% off. I know Chip has a ton of toys and used board games and other board games and other things. And we have like HeroClix and Brock, like, he like found a whole roll of tags and he marked like so much stuff. I'm like, man, if you don't have shelf space when this is over, I'm going to be really sad.
Right.
Because he's got those like sweet glass coasters that we had at Christmas.
Okay.
He's got those for half price. He's got tons of mini mates for half price.
Nice.
Butler's got all kinds of cool stuff on sale. Toys and a bunch of Kaijudo. It's like your last chance at buying Kaijudo. And I mean dumb cheap. Dumb cheap for Kaijudo.
Perfect timing for Easter baskets.
Heck yeah.
Let's sell it hard. That's
so much
down
stuff
there, man.
Yeah, I mean, this really is like a really cool sale that not everyone thinks about. So make sure you get to your local NDC this weekend and do some shopping. Also this weekend at every location except for Elwood are Magic the Gathering, Dragons of Tarkir pre-release events. This is huge. It's a big set. There are 5 clans to choose from. Everybody's doing pre-orders for boxes. Everybody, you can pre-register for events. Cranberry's doing their first event at midnight tonight.
Nice.
Most stores have some kind of morning to early afternoon event tomorrow, and either one at night tomorrow as well, or one on Sunday. So check all the Facebooks, call the stores, do what you want. Make sure you pre-register to get your clan you want. It's a lot of fun. It's $30 each.
We got a lot of stuff. I mean, here at the Mills, we got 10 o'clock tomorrow, 6 p.m.,
o'clock.
And then on Sunday, we've got the noon.
And I'll be playing on noon on Sunday. So
if you want to come,
if you
want to
come
and beat
on,
up, yeah.
If you want to beat my butt, go for it. Kick my ass. All right, next weekend, next Saturday, the 28th, is Butler's anniversary sale. So they're going to have a lot of cool stuff. Like, they're going to have 20% off Silver Age, 10% off all toys, games, Volume 1 trades, and comic sets. All their dollar books will be 50 cents each again, so if you don't get them up this weekend, you can go next weekend. All their t-shirts are $15. We're giving away a long box of comics every hour on the hour starting at 11 a.m.
Awesome.
So if you come in at 10, you can put your name in. If you're a subscriber, a new comic subscriber, you get your name in anyway. So you can win 2. And I've seen it happen. Oh, yeah. And there's going to be cake. Just saying.
Well, you know, if there's cake, I mean, I'm sure that's enough to get most people there in the first
place.
Dude,
I'm going to be there till at least... I'll probably be there from like 10 to 3.
So there won't be cake left.
There may not be cake left unless you're early. So you better come early for some cake. But it's going to be a good time. We're going to do some other events. Like, you know, there's going to be more than enough staff on hand to help you find stuff anywhere in the store. A lot of people, it's weird. Butler's kind of like that hidden treasure. Like, you go there and you're like, oh, man, you still have this? Or, oh, man, like, I've been looking everywhere for this. And here you end up with it. It's very weird, very awesome. They're really, like, they got a lot of cool stuff up there. The first weekend of April is Million Comic Madness. Now, this is going to be ridiculous. And I mean ridiculous.
Oh, good. What's this?
So on this day...
I honestly don't know. I'm not setting him up. I don't know.
We have... If you did not know this, in Elwood, we own 3 buildings. Okay. We have the original Elwood store, which is kind of small. It's probably about the size of... Cranberry, maybe Cranberry, somewhere between Cranberry and Butler.
Okay.
Then we have the new current, or the current Elwood store that has the real store in it, and then the basement
right
with all the boxes, and then the half the top floor is all boxes, and then we have the VFW, which is the Secret Comic Cave, which is just down the street. All 3 locations will be open, and every single book in there. Not counting the new release wall or the graphic novels, will be $1 each.
Wow.
So you can shop the basement, you can shop upstairs, you can shop Old Elwood, or you can shop the VFW all day from like 10 to 5, I think. I'm going to be probably in the VFW, so come up and hang out. Maybe hit the basement first since everything's in alphabetical order there, and then just go and start digging. Or if you don't want to deal with all the other people being in your way in the basement, come on over to the VFW. Hang out with me. I'm down. Cash sales, preferably, because we don't have a credit card machine in the VFW or the old Elwood. So bring cash because it's just a lot easier on us.
Right.
If not, it's okay. We can run your card in Elwood. It's not a problem, but cash preferred. There's also a PNC literally in between the VFW and old Elwood. So you can stop there and get that if you need to. Then the 11th of April is International Tabletop Day.
Awesome.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. More to come on that next week. All the stores are going to be demoing different cool games. I know Cranberry said they're going to do Resistance and a couple other games. I think they were talking about Super Munchkin. I know here we talked about Sentinels of the Multiverse and Smash Up, I think.
My friends and I have played both of those. They're both excellent
games. Oh, man, they're so good. And then there's just going to be a lot. I think King of Tokyo might be done in one of them.
Okay.
Cool. I don't know what's going on in C3 yet. They haven't gotten back to me or Butler, but I imagine it's going to be tons of fun. So if you like board games and you like miniatures games and you like to just play games and have fun, come check out some new stuff because you know what? Scrabble's been around forever.
Right.
Monopoly's been around forever. Risk has been around forever. These are some cool new things to break up the norm and still have fun with your family. It's
absolutely
a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then most of those games, they're all like family friendly. They're good for, you know, some of them, like Sentinels, can be not complex, but you got to watch how you're playing the cards. So, not necessarily perfect for like really little kids. But, you know, most of those games, I know Smash Up and right. Sentinels, they're just a lot of fun.
I will recommend Tammany Hall to anyone because it's awesome.
Yeah.
You basically like put down a bunch of, like, each turn you put like immigrant tokens in different parts of the New York City.
Okay.
And then at the end of 4 years worth of turns, whoever has the most points from the immigrants and or people in their thing, like, they become mayor for that election year.
Okay.
And then so you move X amount of points forward if, like, first gets so much, second, third, first.
So you're kind of like creating your own little Tokyo and your own
kind
stuff
of
like that?
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of neat. And like you can steal and move them too.
Okay.
And then at the end of 4 years, whoever has, like, whoever's the furthest on the board wins. Now, I got to play, Lords of Waterdeep, the D&D one. And it was basically a D&D version of Tammany Hall, and I loved it. I almost won. It was awesome. I did win at Tammany Hall.
Nice.
But I did not win at Lords of Waterdeep. I came in second because Aaron, I think, cheated. But we won't go there. I'm good.
Seven Wonders is another one we should push, I think. That's an excellent game. A lot of fun. Too. And it's not necessarily similar to what you said, but in the same sense it kind of is, because you're one of the major icons in history, and you're at one of those, you're either building Thebes or you're building, you know, the Parthenon or something, like piece of like historical architecture, and you have your natural resources, and then your neighbors, your other players, have theirs, and so you have to barter with them to get, because your card tells you how to build your landmark.
Oh, that's cool.
And so it's like, you know,
it
kind
of reminds me of like Age
bricks.
Of Empires, but with actual historical things.
Right. Yeah,
that's
you'll need
cool.
bricks and wood and whatever, like one other thing. You naturally produce bricks, but next to you is where you get the wood. So you have to, I'm going to pay for two woods from you or swap
I'll
them
give
or
you
whatever.
Like 8 bricks for 20 wood.
Yeah, stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun.
That's cool.
Because then you can also
like
build armies. And if you have more armies than the person next to you, then you get tokens and they get negative tokens.
Oh, that's
but
awesome.
But you always got someone on either side.
Oh, that's
so,
awesome.
So like you could have, you know, this person next to you on your left could have more than you, but you could have more than the person on your right. And it's.
Oh, that's cool. There's also going to be like regular learn to plays of the stuff we do normally, because like, you know, Magic guys are still going to come in,
right?
Pokemon guys are still going to want to come in. You know, HeroClix guys will show you how to play it at 5 o'clock when they come in. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still cool. And then all the other stores have different stuff going on too. More on that when it comes out.
But
the last thing.
I think that, you know, something that for the listeners, if they haven't figured it out by now, and I'm sure that you guys have talked about it all the time.
Right.
But that, you know, NDCs are a great place to explore new gaming, along with great comic books and getting your trades and catching up on your favorite characters. Yeah. Because, you know, regardless of how big or small the gaming sections are, they always carry like a lot of great stuff. And, you know, it's just Magic and Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! Mm-hmm. And those things haven't died, even though you're necessarily not in the, you know, on 6 o'clock news because they sold a Charizard for $1 million.
Right.
They're still really big and they're still going, and there's all these other great
actually,
it's great communities of the players too.
Yeah, like one of our younger Pokemon players is like one city championships away from going to Worlds, and then like
holy
if crap. Yeah, right. And then if he wins at Worlds, he's gonna win himself like a $25,000 college scholarship.
That's
it's
awesome.
Ridiculous. Yeah, so think about that, parents.
Right.
Or aunts Absolutely. And uncles who have a brother or sister who has a kid who wants to get into this and they don't want him to. Think about that for mm-hmm. a second. Free college. Or close to free college
right.
for playing a nerd game.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so the last one, I'm just going to put it out there so you remember the date. May 2nd, Free Comic Book Day.
Boom.
That is going to be the big... We're pulling out all the stops this year. Like, each store is going to be a different style event. I will have more on that when it's solidified. I'm just going to tease you with it right now, but it's going to be cool. You're going to want to drive. You're going to want to make sure you hit every one of our stores because every store is going to have something cool. Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. April 3rd and 4th, we have a variant cover for the new Action Lab Puppet Master book coming out, written by Sean Gabarin, who's a local guy who is like one of the VPs of Action Lab Entertainment. Mm-hmm. They got the rights to do Puppet Master. It's one of his all-time favorite movies. He has all of them. So we did this awesome contest for a back cover. And they had 48 hours to make this back cover.
Right.
And we put it out on Facebook because we just were like, if we get somebody, that's cool. If not, whatever, we'll just make it a blank sketch. Mm-hmm. Whatever. People can sketch. So... we put it out there, 48-hour challenge. We got like 9 different, I think it was 9 different submissions, and another local guy, Scott Headland, won.
Awesome.
And it's really awesome. You'll see it on the back of one of the 2 NDC variants. One will be a sketch variant on the back. The other one will be Scott Headland's original art. It's really awesome. Those will be out the 3rd and 4th. Of April, and Sean and Scott will be at Cranberry and C3 on Friday. Cranberry from 2 to 4, C3 from 6 to 8. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to be at Butler and the Mills on Saturday the 4th from 2 to 4 in Butler, 6 to 8 in Mills.
Okay.
But that's only Sean on Saturday. Scott could not make Saturday. But it's really cool. Come out and check out like exclusive covers. Get mm-hmm. some stuff signed. If you love horror stuff, this is great. If you like puppets, this is great. there were just some really, really great submissions for this, and I really enjoy it. So make sure you come for that. And all right, so let's talk about some comics. I'll let you go first.
Okay. So for my choices, I got Spider-Man 2099. Issue number 10, and Captain Marvel, issue number 13.
Nice.
So for Spidey, Spider-Man 2099 has always been one of my absolute favorite reimaginings of Spider-Man and just revamps, you know, and I love the character. I love, you know, the future city, the costume, even though it's almost more like a Punisher shirt than a spider, really, when you really
right.
look at it, but it just somehow it works. And
but
so,
he's got the sweet cape. That's what I always liked about
it. Yeah, it's true. It's right.
And like
the light
claw
grab
stuff.
Yeah, the light bite cape. So whenever I heard that they were redoing Spider-Man, and I thought that was fantastic. One, just because it's great that there's that much demand that Marvel's bringing him back.
Right.
And they've teased him throughout the years, too, because he was on The Exiles for a while, which was a fantastic comic. I loved that series.
I agree.
And but it also made me happy because they had the first 2 volumes of the original Spider-Man series in trades. And I was like, well, maybe if they're redoing it, they're going to bring out the rest. And sure enough, they finally brought out Volume 3 just like about a month ago, probably.
Right.
So in this issue, too, which one of the reasons why I thought it would be good to check it out, is it's dealing with Maestro. So whenever this new revamp starts, Spider-Man 2099 gets sent to modern-day Marvel Universe.
Right.
And so he has to deal with, like, he's got all the future tech, so that gives him a bit of an edge. And he's finally able to make it back home to 2099, but it's an alternated reality. It's not the one he left. So Maestro, which is a future version of the Hulk from a different timeline, basically, is in control. And I love that because Manifest Destiny, which is the Hulk story where there's another... there's like a nuclear war, and Hulk is one of the only heroes to actually survive it because of his gamma radiation.
Right.
And it actually absorbs more, so he becomes even stronger, and he gains his like intelligence back for the most part. And so he, so whoever's left out of all that, he basically kicks the crap out of him and rules the world, basically, and he calls himself Maestro. And it was just a, it was a great storyline because in that one, current Hulk went into the future, and it was a whole big thing, and it was a lot of fun.
Right.
And you got to see, like, you know, Maestro's trophy room, or no, actually, Rick Jones's trophy room was all the remnants of the Marvel age. So you had a hover chair from Xavier, you had Wolverine's skeleton in a glass case.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Right? You know,
that
Thor's
was
hammer
awesome.
Was, yeah. Well, actually, Rick Jones was in Xavier's hover chair, and they had, Iron Man's gauntlet, Spidey's mask. And so anyway, it's that same Maestro. And so when Spider-Man 2099 gets there, he has this... you know, big fight with him, and surprisingly, the Hulk doesn't kill him, but he messes him up real bad and throws him into a dungeon. And he puts him in with Doctor Strange 2099, who is a woman, and actually just goes by Strange. And she was introduced in the original 2099 Spidey storylines. And it's a
cool take
on her. Did they
tell you who she actually was? Because I swear, like, at some point, they actually tell you that that's magic.
I don't remember.
I might be wrong. I'm
probably
wrong.
Because she was only in like two or three issues of that line.
Fair enough.
So anyway, they're in, you know, Spider-Man's messed up real bad, and she's chained with special runes so she can't cast magic and all that.
Right.
And they have to, and he has to help her get out because she informs him that Doom has a time, or Hulk has Doom's time machine, the time pad. And it's just a really great story because Spider-Man has to try and, you know, get through that, and he goes up against Hulk again, and I'm not gonna like just, you know, tell you everything, obviously, but it's a fun story, and I love it because doubly so because it brings in two of my favorite pieces of, you know, Marvel lore together in a fun way, and I can't recommend Spidey 2099 enough. Period. The original storyline, grab it on trade or back issues, and then this new one is a lot of fun as well.
Right.
So I really, really recommend that one.
I really enjoy it. I read the first one with the two, and like I haven't seen the Maestro since the Avengers Bendis relaunch,
okay,
like a couple years ago when he like sent the next Avengers from like the animated movie back in time, and then they took the Avengers to the future, and they were like, "Holy crap, it's the Maestro!" So it was really good. So, all right, my first book is an Action Lab Entertainment book. It's Stray by my friend and yours, Vito DeSante. He was actually here today, and he signed a bunch of these and put them on the shelf. So if anyone wants to buy a signed copy of Stray, number one or number two,
get in here
for cover price. Totally cool. Come on in. He'll also be appearing at our show in April on the 24th, as well as Sean Gabbern. This book is like... it's just so well written. Like it's got all these cool elements of old school comic telling, which is why I think it's so refreshing because you don't see storylines like this anymore. Like this is very much so. Like it starts out with a flashback of like you know, like the Rottweiler and the Doberman trying to like it. You know, the son who's trying to stop the bad guys from killing his dad, basically, and he just beats the crap out of like this teen, almost like Masters of Evil, and like one of them's like a football player, and like he totally does like the Blue 42, like that kind of thing.
Right.
It's awesome. And then it cuts to now where like the Rottweiler is dead, and that's his dad. And like they're at the funeral, and like there's not really many people there, but some of the superheroes, like from the guys that were in like basically his Justice League, are there, but they're kind of staying out of the way, so people don't know, like people don't like point out the fact that that's who he was.
Right.
And then later it shows like some dude who kills Rottweilers or people that own Rottweilers. It's like this one detective's trying to find out who that guy is while the son is now grown up. He got out of jail. And then that Justice League guys, who kind of also similarly looked like a Legion of Superheroes, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
They're there and they're just kind of hanging out, and you know, they're trying to give their condolences, and you know, we're here to support your dad and stuff. And it's really kind of cool to like see this like grieving process, and then these guys just like come in and like totally like try to intervene with his grieving, and it's weird. So he goes to the kennel, which is like his bat cave.
Okay.
You know, he's like looking at everything old, and he accesses the viewer in the helmet, like in the cowl.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually watches like his dad's last moments, and it's cool because it does third person view. How about that? I thought that was a really cool, awesome thing to do. He actually gets to see like what happened to him. So then he ends up reading like his last will and testament, or at least like a letter that is similar to his last will and testament, and. His dad had put something behind his costume, and when he opens it up, like it's like his stray outfit. And he's like, telling his dog, like, let's get cracking. It's kind of cool because then you get to see like some of the villains he's going to be going after, which are cool, like Boogeyman and Nurse Scorn and Tusk and Devil Bat and Mr. Macaw. And it's really, really cool, and I just love Vito's writing. Like, it's so refreshingly old school, but yet still a fresh take on it. Mm-hmm. That's why I like this book. It's why I'm recommending it to a lot of people. I would have recommended it if I didn't know Vito. Mm-hmm. So definitely check it out. It's got that old school, like, Amazing Spider-Man, like, Catalyst becoming a superhero thing.
Right.
With, like, a little bit of, like, Batman because he doesn't have superpowers, but it's not blatantly ripping anything off. Like, it's just a fresh take on a story that's still original,
mm-hmm.
but has that classic vibe, and that's right. What I like about it. You know, it's almost like an older Stan Lee vibe, and that's kind of what I like about it. And you know, if you guys are into like old style superheroes and you like that kind of stuff and you're tired of what they're putting out now because it's been around for 70 years and they haven't done anything new with it, check out Stray. It's really, really, really good. So
awesome.
And we still have number one and number two on the shelf. The signed ones are only at the Mills as he just randomly popped in while I was eating lunch. Yeah, I was like, hey, you got a marker? And I was like, yeah, there you go.
I'm here to sign your stuff. So, I'm like, awesome.
I was like, okay.
Please I'm not do. Stop
you. So, but him and his wife Michelle and their daughter stopped by, and it's always good to see everybody. Mm-hmm. They're a bunch of great guys. I can't say how much more awesome they can be enough. super friendly, really great. He just got promoted to marketing manager, I believe, is the title for Action Lab Entertainment. So he's actually like a big shot on the team now.
Awesome,
which is great because they're growing. Like, that company is growing. They're putting out a lot of really good stuff. They have Stray, they have Midnight Tiger, mm-hmm. the Puppet Masters come in.
Right.
Holy F Word, which mm-hmm. is hilarious, and the writer is also from Pittsburgh.
Nice.
They have Vamplets, which is actually a really cool like kids vampire book.
Yeah.
Skyward, which is huge. And they just lost one of the artists on that last summer, who I actually got to meet very briefly. I believe at Baltimore last year. He was a really cool dude. But they're a really great company, and they put out a lot of really good stuff. So if you're looking for something not Marvel, not DC, and you still want your fix of good writing, mm-hmm. check out Action Lab stuff. It's really, really good. So, oh, and they do the Itty Bitty Bunnies book that I talk about all the time.
That's right. You love that.
I do. I love that book. What else you got, Brian?
All right. So, Captain Marvel, number 13. This was pretty good. I just kind of grabbed it, you know, because I've been wanting to see what they've done with Carol Danvers and with the new Captain Marvel aspect. I haven't read anything
from
else.
From the new line.
No.
Okay.
So jumping in at 13 is a bit much, but at the same time, it wasn't like I was lost. That was which was cool.
Well, I think one issue into a new story. So it's not that far.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just cool because now it gives you the little rundown in the beginning too, which helped the little blurb page at the front catch up. And so she's kind of like the Avengers cosmic level liaison, so to speak. Like she is out there doing Avenger work for the most part, but you know, at the cosmic level. And so it's the whole story is a rescue mission. Her friend and her cat, which was apparently revealed to be like some sort of sentient.
It is an
alien race,
yes.
Yeah. Which I think is hilarious.
Oh, you should have seen when it littered all over her spaceship and Rocket Raccoon like threw a fit. It was great. anyway, continue on.
No, yeah. So like, you know, so she's going to get them from like slave traders basically. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's not a lot of action, surprisingly. I mean, there's a little bit of a dogfight in the beginning when you start with she's trying to get away from some attackers and her ship is badly damaged at this point.
Right.
And she's trying to figure out a way to catch up to the bad guys on their ship in like a completely different section of the galaxy, I'm assuming. And there's just really good banter between her and the ship because the ship is kind of like a AI.
The ship has AI, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really funny. It's called, Herbert Hector? It's like a normal name for the ship. It was something with H. I think it was Hector.
That's pretty funny.
It's just hilarious. And, you know, at one point the ship actually makes a really bad joke and it's awesome. And I kind of have to tell you it just because. And it's like, the ship's like, it has been interesting. I have had time to consider my nature. I have discovered my updog is irrevocably damaged and requires repairs. And she's like, what's up, dog? Not much. What's up with you? She's like, I deeply regret activating your humor thing. And I'm like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, like, really? That's pretty funny.
Awesome.
And there's just like a little, I'm not going to compare it to like necessarily to Jarvis, but there's a nice little sarcasm, you know, function in there that the ship, you know, is pretty good. And it's fun seeing her because she even acknowledges in this that she has to start thinking more. She can't just muscle it and beat the crap out of stuff.
Right.
And so she's trying to jerry-rig the ship so that it can go faster and do all this stuff. And then, you know, and she's tweaking the laser beam on the main firing mechanism for her weapons to be, like, pinpoint precise.
Yeah.
And then, you know, instead, because she's not going to be able to take on this massive slave ship because it's, you know, it's, like, Enterprise level and she's, like you know, maybe Serenity or something. You know what I mean? Her ship's much smaller. So she just, you know, uses it precision strikes. And it's just, like I said, there's only a small amount of dogfighting in the beginning and then a couple real quick strikes at the end. But it's still, there's still an excitement to it because you're with her as she's stressing out and not sure if she's going to blow up the ship and die. And even the ship is like, yeah, we're probably going to die, you know?
Right.
And it's really fun. And I'm definitely more interested, obviously, now in seeing the rest of it and going back and reading the beginning. And
it's
and
a super good book.
And the writing is really good. And so
Kelly Sudokonic. Hello. that book is awesome. Like, I have loved that book. I've loved Carol Danvers as a character for most of the time that I knew of her in existence.
Mm-hmm.
So probably started when she was in probably early Warbird outfit.
Right.
So I had missed like the whole actual Miss Marvel and then Binary. But I went back and read it all because it was awesome. and I've loved Carol. And I think Kelly Sue really, like, she took some, like, all the best qualities of Carol and, like, really put it out, like, just push it all out front. This run has been great. I recommend people picking it up.
I'm inclined to agree. Because, I mean, I'm a fan of Carol since New Avengers.
Right.
You know, and I didn't know anything about her, really, about Ms. Marvel, other than that she was the reason Rogue had her powers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, that's all I knew about him. Like, okay, whatever. She got, you know, Rogue's my favorite.
It's the
so
Carol
that's cool.
core.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's interesting to see the evolution of the character.
Yeah.
And where she's come from since then.
Yeah, definitely true. All right, my next book is Thor number 6 by Jason Aaron. This book, like, starts off with Roxxon becoming the Minotaur and, like, ripping the head off all the pirates that killed his family and keeping them alive. Like, okay. And then Malekith's just like, huh, that's pretty awesome. You are way meaner than I thought you'd be. And then Thor's all whiny at Heimdall because he's like, why can't you see who she is? And he's like, I'm supposed to be watching for threats of Asgard, not whatever you want. So Thor is still on a quest to figure out who Lady Thor is. Or sorry, Odin's son is on a quest to figure out who Thor is.
Right, okay. Yeah, that makes,
so
makes sense that way.
He goes to the moon and he finds Jane Foster and she is still recovering from breast cancer. And is still in like the weird healing, or she's in the Asgardian Hall of Medicine. Sorry. He was on the moon for a while, then went to see her and they totally like make jokes about it because, you know, they used to date and whatever. And, she says something like, she's like, are you still not calling yourself Thor? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, you know, you can call me whatever you like. She's like, I'm going to remember you said that, Lord Thunderbritches. And then, like, Thor crosses off Jane Foster off the list. And he's, like, trying to figure it out because he is determined to figure out who this is. And I think the next couple issues are more going to be Thor trying to figure it out and then eventually figuring out who it is at the end after he goes through his whole list. But he goes to Coulson. And Coulson's kind of weirded out because
because
Tooth Gnasher is there, and he's like Tooth Gnasher, don't eat Coulson, and like Coulson's like, no, it can't be Solomon Rosalind or Rosalind Solomon, and then it like goes back and forth to like the Roxxon Malekith thing, and like Lady Thor shows up at this thing and they like. They're shooting bullets at her. They're just bouncing off. She's like, meh, tickles. And then, like, Frigga yells at Odin because he's being a douche about this whole thing. And it's crazy because he sent the destroyer after Thor, like Lady Thor. Oh,
that's right. You told me that one
time.
Yeah.
To bring back the hammer and find out who she is. And that's the last page you see. So it's all like this crazy catalyst up to this big fight. This book's been really good. Jason Aaron's Thor has been great since he did Thor God of Thunder. And it's like, I guess when he took over Thor, he said it was going to be a trilogy of storylines. And the first one was like that young Thor, old Thor, now Thor together storyline with the God Killer.
Okay.
And then this one's going to be Lady Thor. And then there's going to be another like big story that he's going to do after that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's like a 5 or 6 year plan. It's crazy.
Now I wonder how that's going to be affected by Secret War.
That
is going to be like,
or if it's going to be affected at all, or if we're going to find out during Secret War.
Right, if that was always, if it was part of it to begin with, or something. Maybe part three.
I don't know, because he said it would be around issue 15, which would be 9 months from now. So 9 months from now is like December, so that should be way after Secret War. So we'll see, but maybe another Thor that doesn't have an Uru arm. Will be Thor again. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I really like the annual though, because they had like Thor's granddaughters, and
yeah.
Earth had been extinct of everything for a long time. So his granddaughters like all brought back like life to it. They brought back vegetation. They brought back animals, but they made like flying sharks and all these things because they didn't know.
Right.
There was nothing really written down right. And with the last of it, Thor makes. A man and a woman, and he like repopulates the earth, and it's actually kind of cool. But the thing I thought was awesome was the one granddaughter had Mjolnir, the other one had Stormbreaker, and the other one had Thunderstrike.
Awesome.
So like all three of the Thor hammers were one granddaughter each. It was
That's
really kind of neat. So.
And I know the whole uproar is certainly passed for the most part, I would imagine. But the whole Thor is a girl thing.
Yeah.
Afterwards, like, I realized that there's actually a precedent with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the one of the what ifs is where what if Rogue gained Thor's powers? Because at one point she's fighting the Avengers and she temporarily gets his stuff.
Yeah, she absorbs it.
Yeah, and like kicks the crap out of him and leaves. Well, then the what if is like, what if she stayed and just kept holding on like she did with Ms. Marvel? And she absorbs all of...
If it's Rogue, I'm going to be sad.
Well, it's like, well, yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. But if Rogue like absorbs everything and... Like Thor basically dies, and she kind of goes crazy because she, you know, he's in her head and all that stuff, and she, you know, she's almost evil at the beginning because like she's so drunk on the incredible power coming into her, but Mjolnir still stays with her.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't like drop out of her hands, so it's like she's still worthy. But she's kind of like dark, and then all this stuff happens, and she goes to Asgard and stuff, and you know, at one point in towards the end, Thor is inside of her head. Thor tells her, "It's like, you don't understand, Thor isn't a name, it's a title. Like, it's, you're worthy. You know, you may don't think you are, but you are. You've been chosen, and I don't have a problem with you taking this mantle because I know what's inside of you.
Right.
I can see it.
And that's pretty much what he said to Lady Thor, like, in issue 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And so I just love the fact that, this is actually a precedent. This has been set up.
I have a feeling that I have a feeling that sometimes Marvel just goes, you know what? We need a new story arc. Let's see what we did in a What If book.
I wouldn't be surprised because there's a lot of good stories there, really.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm waiting for the What If Luke Cage is white then. But I mean, seriously, though, like they did a lot of them. Like Fear Itself was one. Bucky Cap was one.
Right, yeah.
Secret Invasion was one. Like all the big crossovers started out as Marvel What If issues. It was really crazy. All right, so some of the stuff that came out this Wednesday at your local NDC: all new Captain America 5, all new X-Men 39, Angel and Faith season 9, Amazing Spider-Man 16.1. Batgirl 40, Batgirl Endgame number 1, Batman Eternal 50, two more to go, Superman Batman 20, Batwoman 40, which is the last, I believe that's the last issue of Batwoman, till they sometime reboot it,
right.
Black Widow 16, Bob's Burgers first volume trade, Borderlands number 7, BPRD 129, Buffy season 10 number 13, Bucky Barnes Winter Soldier number 6, Burning Fields 3, Captain America and the Mighty Avengers 6, Cyclops 11, Dark Horse Presents number 8, Divinity number 2, which I'm actually really pumped to read, and I can't believe I'm saying that about a value book. But it's really good. Check it out. It really, really is good. Doctor Who 12th Doctor 6, Doctor Who 11th Doctor 6. Just 12th Doctor 6. My bad. It was just two different covers. Dragonlance, Volume 1, Dungeons & Dragons, Baldur's Gate 5, World's End, Number 24, 8, Number 2, Eternal 3, Fathom Kiani, Number 2, The Fly, Outbreak, Number 1. I'm kind of interested in checking that out, too.
Hmm.
Frankenstein Underground, Number 1, Furry Tales, Number 1, Garbage Pail Kids, One Shot, Grim Fairy Tales, Robin Hood, Ongoing, Number 8, G.I. Joe Real American Hero 211, Giant Days, number 1, Green Lantern New Guardians 40, Gru, Friends and Foes 3, Guardians Team Up 3, Hulk 13, Infinite Crisis, number 9, Injustice, Gods Among Us, Year 3, number 12, Ivar Time Walker 3, I always love saying that, Ivar Time Walker, Judge Dredd 28, Lady Demon 3, Lady Rawhide / Lady Zorro number 1, Legendary Red Sonja.
Lady number 0.
Lady number 452. Little Nemo, Return to Slumberland. Number 4, Loki, Agents of Asgard 12, Lumberjanes 12, Magneto 16, Manhattan Projects, Sun Beyond the Stars number 1. Some sweet Marvel chess pieces, including the two-pack of Groot and Rocket. Marvel Universe Avengers Assemble number 5. Marvel Universe Guardians of the Galaxy number 2, Millennium number 2, Mind Management 31, Moon Knight 13, Miss Marvel Trade volume 2, My Little Pony 28, Futures End 46, Orphan Black number 2, Peanuts 26, Plunder 2, a bunch of Pop Keychain Ninja Turtles, a bunch of really cool Pop dudes, and there are a lot of them. And we are all, I think, sold out of the Cthulhus. Princess Leia, number 2. Princess Ugg, number 8. Punisher, 16. Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 40. Red Sonja Vulture, Circle 3. Red Sonja Vulture, Circle... Oh, never mind. That's the same book. Different cover. Darn it. They don't usually do that.
Covers.
I know. They don't normally do that on this website. Regular Show, 21. Rain, 3. Rocket Salvage, 4. Secret Identities 2, which number 1 was really good as well, if you didn't read that one. Shaper number 1, Silk number 2, which number 1 of that was really good. So
I've heard good things about Silk.
I've read number 1, I haven't read 2, but I liked it better than Spider-Gwen. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there. Simpsons 219, Solar, Man of the Atom 10. Wow, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah. Sparks Nevada 2, Star Trek Planet of the Apes 4, some Boba Fett shirts. Steam Tales, number 2, Storm 9, Supergirl 40, Superman 39, Superman Wonder Woman Volume 1 trade, Tales from the Creep, yeah, that's right, Tales from the Creep, number 1, Teen Titans 8, Terrible Lizard 5, Ninja Turtles number 44, but all the stores are already sold out because Donatello dies. Spoilers.
Well, yeah, that's great. That's after the fact.
It's all right. That's why. If you wonder why. But he did that before. They killed him before. He came back as a cyborg. Whatever.
I don't understand why they're picking on Donnie. That's,
I don't either. It's the bow. I told you. He's got the worst weapon.
The staff is fine. It's not a bad weapon.
Transformers 39. Trinity of Sin 6. Tuki Saves the Humans 3. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 3. Witchblade 181. Wolverines 11. And X-Files Season 10. Number 21. So those are all found on the new release tab on the NDC.com. Or I'm sorry, new or ndcomics.com website. Under new releases. You can also find all the information about the show coming up in April on there as well under Pittsburgh Comics and Collectibles Show. All right, so let's talk about some nerdy news. First, let's talk about the Batgirl Endgame variant that got pulled.
I heard just generalities about
okay.
that. But yeah,
what did you hear about it being not as comic suave as
okay.
I am?
So I heard that, like, obviously the Killing Joke is like revered as like a classic telling, and
it
it's
is.
The one where Joker basically turns Batgirl into Oracle by shooting her in the back or whatever and paralyzing her. But from what I understood recently is that it was more to it than that. Like, he actually, like, did things when she was paralyzed or whatever. Like, after he stabbed her or shot her or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize it got to that, like, implied graphic level. So now, cut to the variant, where it was supposedly him behind her with, like, a knife to her throat and, like,
right.
just a crazy sadistic grin on his face and, like, she was beaten up.
Right.
And so that sent everybody into... spasms because it implied a lot of very bad things.
Well, sorta. Like, so she was like stripped by the creepy midget, and then like it implied that she was sexually assaulted. Is actually what the deal is. So some people look at it as like one of the craziest and weirdest and worst things to ever happen in DC. Bat family books.
Mm-hmm.
Some people find it to be the most risque, over the top, best written thing because it was so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's also like the one where obviously she gets shot and put in a wheelchair,
right?
And started her whole awesome career as Oracle, mm-hmm. which I actually liked Barbara Gordon better as Oracle than she was Batgirl ever. and I know I get a lot of flack for that, but I like. Stephanie Brown. I'm sorry. I'm a Stephanie Brownie.
That's all right.
So this cover, this variant cover for... Actually, I think it was like... Maybe it wasn't for Endgame. It was Endgame.
I think it was
because
whatever.
Yeah, it was supposed to be for Endgame.
Yeah,
so it's about to come out. The cover is Joker with his arm around her, with like him painting on a Joker face on her face, and her like freaking out, and hurt him in the same outfit that he wore for
the Killing Joke.
The Killing Joke.
Okay.
So the artist, people started giving the artist flack, and he was like, "You know what? Screw it. Pull it." Mm-hmm. And he told DC to pull it, which is totally fine because that, like, I think it was a cool cover. I thought it was kind of a cool homage to that huge event, which they've been kind of like alluding to in the current book anyway, that those events either never happened or did happen or were the catalyst for her splitting her mind into some kind of alternate like VR, and that's actually what Oracle was.
Okay.
Or and then like her actual human body, and she's like connected to it.
Hmm.
Or something. It's really cool. Batgirl's been really, really, really good since Gail Simone ended it and it was taken over. Like, this whole new storyline has just been really crazy and like a total roller coaster, and I love it.
Okay.
Probably the best Batgirl I've read in a long time. And that's not just because I don't like Gail Simone.
Yeah. Right.
Or Gail Simone's Batgirl. I just like this Batgirl better. Mm-hmm. That's all. but yeah, it's definitely interesting like how much of an uproar that had. I would have, like, I just thought it was a cool homage. I didn't really look at it as like they're trying to bring back this crazy event that happened with all these bad connotations. I just looked at it as, wow, that's a cool homage cover.
Mm-hmm.
Meh.
So. Yeah. It's, I don't know how, it's because, like I said, I never read it, so I can't.
It's been really a long time since I read it, but it's really creepy.
Right. And
it's Alan Moore. Come on.
Well, right there. That's basically your answer's right there. And it's like,
I'm so sad. I'm going to write a Batgirl book.
I don't know. I think
I'm going to make the Joker
do bad
things.
The environment these days is like really sensitive about all that kind of stuff. And, but it's like, but it is justified. So it's like, I don't know. I
see both sides of the party. And I think they kind of covered their butts on it, but in the same right, like, it's like they got a crap ton of of publicity off this. No publicity is bad publicity.
Right, yeah.
People are now going to read that book and find out what was in that book that made them want to use that kind of a cover.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I definitely don't think it was a planned red herring.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just something that actually happened awkwardly.
Yeah.
And the other cool thing that happened this week was the new Avengers trailer.
Which was awesome.
Which is the first time you get to see brand new footage since, what, the Super Bowl, right?
I think so, yeah.
So
It was more of a TV spot than a full trailer, but...
Yeah, I really liked it because they individually showed the lineup. Like, they went through everybody individually.
Yeah.
So...
And it's, you know, they show off some awesome new battle footage, which was fantastic. The part where Thor kicks up, like, Captain America's shield and then slams it with Mjolnir and it goes flying and, like, rips through, like, two or three Ultron bots.
I know.
Just badass, you know. It was like,
yeah, and you get to see, like, an actual fluid-looking Ultron versus, like, the clunky, like, puppety style. And I really like Tony's whole thing, like, I redesigned everything, made everybody look a little cooler.
Yeah.
I was just like, that is so Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's funny. So.
Yeah, because you, like, you know, you do get the it focuses, like you said, on each, but you get the cap shot where he does that awesome thing with the bike where he flips off the bike
like
and throws
it. Wrecks the bike, but flips it over him and throws it into the Jeep.
Yeah.
And he's just like, meh. I was like, what the hell was that?
You know, it's like, I love how they do that and they keep... It keeps surprising you, but when they show Cap's strength, but that's how it is. Like, you know, he's not just some dude that's kind of strong. He does have beyond
a lot of strength. Yeah,
yeah, he's borderline super strength dude, like low level super strength.
I think I love the thing I think I love the most out of the commercial was where Thor like steps on the shield, kicks it up, and then wails on it with the hammer.
Yeah,
and then he's just like, it's all in the swing.
Yeah,
I was like,
clearly
what?
Different scenes, but still
right. But it's just like. What?
Yeah. And I have to jump on the bandwagon with, while it's, I'm going to love it for the cheesiness of it, is, you know, because at the end, you have that Hawkeye, everyone else focuses on themselves doing something, but Hawkeye's section is he's clearly talking to either Wanda or Pietro or both and saying, like, if you walk out that door, you're an Avenger. And then it's the shot of Wanda walking out of a doorway, mm-hmm. probably not the same scene, but still, like, shooting off a red hex ball or whatever.
Right.
And then it cuts to Quicksilver doing some cool super speeding and knock. And then he's like, at the very end, he's got that horrible accent. He's like, see that coming.
He's got that like Romanian accent, which I was like, oh my God, that's cool. They're if they both have the accent, I'll be excited.
Yeah.
Because that would make that movie for me. I don't care if they're going to be inhuman. Mm-hmm. I just want them to have the accent. Because if Black Widow is not going to have the accent, they need to have the accent. And as long as they're calling him Pietro and he's not like Peter.
Right. don't
like,
go with that.
Because that was kind of the one thing from Days of Future Past that I was kind of bummed out about was that like Quicksilver was like an American, like just like a jerk.
Yeah. Jerky little like, teen. Yeah.
Just a little D-bag.
Yep.
But
yeah. So the trailer, and I vowed that that's my last one.
You're not going to watch anymore.
I'm not going to watch anything else. Because
well,
like,
you only got a month.
I know.
Not even a month. Yeah. Well, no, a little more than a month. You have like 6 weeks, Brian.
I just got to hold that because I'm pretty sure I did that with the original Avengers. Like after the first two or three trailers, I stopped watching.
It's hard though nowadays with social media to and that's what it was. Notice.
My friend actually sent a group text with the link to the thing. He's like, this is awesome. I'm like, damn it.
Oh,
click. You know, watch. I'm like, ah, that was awesome, but no more.
Don't stop teasing me. Yeah, it's definitely interesting sometimes when
because they really do. It was bad, you know. Always, but now, as you're saying, with social media, they just essentially give you the entire movie. It's so much is spoiled.
It's not worth looking into. It's not worth like waiting for something. Like Magic guys, because I play Magic, always ask me about. Did you see the spoiler? Did you see the spoiler? Like, I really try not to look at the spoiler because I like to be surprised and actually see what I can build on the spot at pre-release. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
Now, because I'm studying for my judge test and I have to do the, like, run the events, I do look at, like, the new rules for things and the, you know, that kind of stuff. So you see a couple of the new cards, which is cool. And sometimes you just can't not see it because they post a freaking big picture of it.
You're right.
And you're scrolling through your feed and you're like, oh, damn it.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, look at that awesomeness.
Yeah.
Look at this big dagron.
Yep.
Big dagron right here.
But I agree. So. Yeah, it's with Magic as well.
Yeah,
it's like it's anything you
guys, Yu-Gi-Oh's the same. Pokemon's the same.
You gotta really you gotta really actively try and not get spoiled now.
You know, and I think that's why people love going to San Diego Comic Con and New York Comic Con because that's what they go for. Like they don't go for the vendors, they don't go for the guests, they go for the spoiling of like major I'm gonna get to watch this brand new trailer that no one else has ever seen before everybody else, even though some dude's in the back's live streaming this thing. So I could have just stayed at home and just found that dude's feed or waited 10 minutes and then found it everywhere.
Yep.
You know, so
and at the same time, I mean, look how long it took before, you know, the Avengers, the Ultron footage finally made its way. Like they kept a lid on that really well.
Well, I think they did it on purpose because I think they were like, you know what? This movie's going to sell no matter what.
Right.
Let's push more Ant-Man because people don't know who he is as much.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've already established all these other characters and he's going to be the first part of that next wave.
Right.
So if they don't push a movie with Paul Rudd while he's still semi-popular coming off of what is like This Is 40 and he just did another movie right before that too when he started putting those you know and people want to know what was it going to be like. They were like Avengers is going to be awesome, it doesn't matter. What's Ant-Man going to be like? So they were pushing more Ant-Man because they know that like who does Marvel have to go up against this year?
Right. Nothing.
Like they go up against Ant-Man.
Yeah.
That's it. Like what other movie this year? 50 Shades of Grey maybe, which they're going to blow out of the water with money wise. I mean, come on. Cuz there's nothing. I don't think there is anything. Like is cuz Justice League's or the Batman Superman's next year, right?
Yeah, cuz that's up against Captain, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's Civil War.
So there's nothing like in the winter, I don't think.
Nothing major.
Yeah, like what Fast and the Furious 7?
Right. Yeah.
What else is coming out this year? Nothing. I don't think there really is anything cool.
Mm-mm.
Like super cool that I can think of off the bat where I'm like, "Oh man."
Yeah.
Oh man. You know, it's like Avengers and Ant-Man. And I think that the movie people are all like, yeah, it's cool. We'll just let you have this year.
Yeah.
we're not going to go up against Avengers.
We saw what they did last year.
We're better. We know better. Yeah, right? Because next year we'll have Batman, Superman, Cap.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other one? There's another one.
Because there's another Marvel movie, right?
There's another Marvel movie, but it's like in the winter. Oh, man. Is it Thor? Thor 3?
I don't know if I'll be able to find it. I have, like, someone made up one of those massive timelines DC and Marvel together.
But there's man.
But I don't know if I can find it.
Oh, you know what? X-Men Age of Apocalypse is next year, too.
Is that next year?
Okay. Yeah. So I think that's in the summer, though. That might be the summer blockbuster one. But I can't remember what the fall one is.
Oh, wait, here it is. I actually got it.
Oh, you know what this year is? Star Wars in the fall.
That's right.
Thank you, Jar Jar Binks, a.k.a. Aaron.
Yes. Well, actually, it's because we got Avengers, then we got Ant-Man in July. August 7th is the Fantastic Four reboot. Yeah, exactly.
August 7th, where am I going to be? I don't know.
Next year is Deadpool, which I'm actually looking forward to.
Deadpool next
year. Because, you know, Ryan Reynolds is excited about it. Like, he's so grateful that the fans got that kicked in.
And he is going to be a really excellent Deadpool.
If
he's
actually allowed to be the right Deadpool, he would be fantastic.
Like, if they wouldn't have tried to make Green Lantern as funny as they tried to with, like, screwing up the storyline.
Right.
Or if they would have just kept the storyline fine and just kind of added a little bit of humor in anyway. Would have been a much better movie, but meh.
Or if they let Deadpool be Deadpool in the X-Men or Wolverine movie.
Yeah, it would have been totally fine. But the parts where he was Wade
when he
was on Weapon X, that was awesome.
Yep.
And I was like, man, that sold it for me.
Yeah, and then 2016 is, like I said, Deadpool in the beginning, Batman, Superman, Captain, X-Men Apocalypse, and Suicide Squad is supposedly the end of the
year. Oh, that's right.
Possibly Doctor Strange, and then... Well, it's originally was that Sinister Six movie, but I'm sure that's all changed up now with Spidey getting into Marvel.
Oh, I did hear. I just had it. What were the movies that you just talked about from last year? It had something to do with one of those.
Batman, Captain America, X-Men, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, Fantastic Four, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Sinister Six. Okay.
All right. So I read an article where Benjamin Cumberbatch has not actually been announced specifically as Doctor Strange yet.
Oh, he's just attached to the movie.
He's just attached to the movie, and he's not talking about anything.
Oh, would he be? What if he's the bad guy?
I would love to see him be Dormammu. Great Dormammu. Well, or a Baron Mordo.
Baron Mordo, that's what I was thinking of.
Because, like, Dormammu would just almost be another Smaug or Smaug.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just the voice.
But he does
coming.
So well with that. Like, he's got that voice for it, but he just doesn't have, like, the... Like, I can't deal with his face. He just looks like a corpse. Like, I tried watching Star Trek Into Darkness a couple weeks ago, and every other scene was awesome, and then he'd be in a scene, and I'm like, you're ruining the scene.
He almost went to, like, the Kristen Stewart school of facial expressions. Right? Yeah. He doesn't have a lot of, facial.
No.
Because I watched the first season of Sherlock, which was awesome. And
but I love his Watson, though.
Right.
Like, he is awesome.
What's his name? Martin Freeman.
Yeah, Martin Freeman. He's awesome.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, because he's been in, like, you know, a bunch of the...
The Hobbit?
Well, that... But yeah, but I mean, he's the Hobbit, but I was thinking also of the whole Blood and Ice Cream trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
He's had small parts in a lot of those and stuff. But, yeah, he's a fantastic actor. And both of them are great actors, and it's great... it's okay for Sherlock, because Sherlock is so detached and doesn't care.
Yeah, he's very...
It works, but...
He's very dry and very... Like, blank face anyway.
Right.
Which is actually probably why I didn't like his Sherlock, but I like the guy on Elementary, because I think I just like that actor better. He's a little bit better, but I didn't really like the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock, because I thought he was too animated.
And he was too, like, Tony Stark, too. I think there was a little bit of that leeching in.
Smarmy. I mean, yeah, but that's why. He was too animated. Like, he was too suave and too...
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, like, yuppie-ish, I want to say.
Like, Sherlock Holmes
not in
was,
a bad way.
Yeah,
but
Sherlock Holmes was super smart, but he wasn't, like, a jerk about it. He wasn't, like,
the
a
only
smart
parts
ass,
I
really.
Thought that were cool were the parts they actually showed him going to the opium den. That's it. Because I was like, he really did that in the books. Yeah, like, he totally went to the opium den, and Scott wasted and solved crime, you know, or at least he thought he solved a crime. Right. Maybe he committed the crime and that's how he knew.
Yep.
Hey. but that's pretty much it. Again, guys, sorry that we took so long coming back to this, but we're going to try to do it. We're going to try for weekly. If not, just, you know, start Facebook messaging me, posting on the post on the podcast page of where are you guys?
Well, his phone number is 555. No, just kidding.
Hey now, come on. Oh, did I tell you that I found out real quick? I found out that J.K. Simmons, who played J. Jonah Jameson in the other Spider-Man movies.
Don't tease me. Don't tease me.
Totally one of my fraternity brothers.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, totally a Symphonian.
I thought you were going to say he signed on to help out with Avengers, and I'm like, oh my God, is he in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Awesome. He's back!
Everybody wants him as Jameson again. That's the only thing they care about.
But he, like, because he won for the movie where he's the drum instructor. I can't remember what it's called, but he won, like, an Oscar for it. And then, like, the next day, it's, like, all over, like, my fraternity feed. And I'm like... Holy crap. And he's a collegiate brother, which means when he was an undergrad, wherever he was going to school for music theater and theater, that's when he joined. So he joined totally of free will in mind. He was not an honorary dude. We didn't just pick him out and give him a membership.
Right, right.
Like, he wanted to be part of us, which is great. So if you're a Find Me Alpha brother like myself, you're a big fan of J.K. Simmons. Now you know a cool cool little tidbit. Also, it's Mr. Rogers' birthday today. Also, another brother of mine.
That's right. I saw that.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's about all I got.
Yeah. I'm pretty much, that's it for me.
I'm tapping out.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Thanks
for listening.